Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Hallelujah.
Before we continue our series entitled All About Jesus, bear with me for a moment as I take this time to speak with and to the many friends that I have at the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. There are so many of you that listen to this radio program on your way to worship services and are so very complimentary and build me up by the things that you say concerning the program that I just like to say thank you. I'd name those of you who come to my mind, but surely if I did, I'd leave someone out, and that's not my intention. But today I remember you. I remember you in light of a passage that I read in Psalms, the 90th chapter and verse 10. For the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Then dropping down to verse 12, the psalm says, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. 70 years ago today, in a little town in southern Indiana, I was born. Indeed, there has been great blessings in my life, and one of the great blessings is the association that I've had with my friends and brethren at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. I tell you this in order that those of you who are not members with us will consider coming and meeting the friendly people that worship together on Sunday mornings at 9:30, Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and assembling again on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Truly an outstanding group of people. You'll be glad that you've came. And though you will be rewarded by being with those that are fun to be with, the greatest reward will be your exposure to biblical truths. At the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we strive to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. And we give it our all to do only those things that are authorized in the Word of God. We consider it an honor when you bring your Bible with you and check the things that we do and say with God's Word to ascertain that indeed they are from God and not from man. So I thank you for listening. I thank you for being patient with the things that we do and say. And I remind you that we've been studying about Jesus Christ. We've talked about overcoming the difficulties of life with Jesus. We've talked about the way that Jesus used miracles when he lived on the earth in the first century. And then we took a couple of lessons and talked about the cross of Jesus Christ. Indeed, a significant milepost in the history of mankind. Today, I'd like to carry on with that thought concerning the cross and specifically look at the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ for mankind. The American Red Cross used to have a poster that was very succinct in its message. It simply said, "There is no substitute for blood." What a great truth that is. It's a physiological truth concerning the body. without blood, the body cannot exist. But more than that, it's a great spiritual truth concerning the soul. The soul will never reach the pearly gates of heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter and verse 22, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. What an impactful statement that is. We learn from Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that sin separates man from God. And in that separate state, man would remain unless there was a substitute acceptable to God that allowed that reconnection or that reconciliation, that rejoining of man with God, that rejoining force, the blood of Jesus Christ. One of the great unchanging, immutable principles of divine government is the shedding of blood and how it affects the forgiveness of sins. At the place where I worship, we sometimes sing a song that says, I will never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. What a great truth that is. The cross is at the very heart of God's eternal purpose. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18, the Bible says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but it was made manifest in these last times to you. The cross of Jesus Christ, the blood shed on that cross, the very heart of man's forgiveness, of God's eternal purpose. Do you realize that man could never be good enough to fellowship with a holy and a sin-hating God? Because man fell to sin. Genesis 3 and verse 6 shows that. And without the death of Jesus Christ, man would be hapless and hopelessly under the power of Satan for all of eternity. It then is no wonder that the Apostle Paul wrote, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Galatians 6 and verse 14. From the same author in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, we read, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The value of the subject that we consider today, the importance of that subject is at the very heart of the gospel message. Jesus cannot be preached. Jesus cannot be taught. Jesus cannot be believed, nor Jesus cannot be a benefit to mankind without consideration of the blood that He shed on the cross for the world. To the world, as we learned in previous lessons, the cross is foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 teaches that. In fact, in verses 22 and 23 of 1 Corinthians 1, Paul wrote, for indeed Jews asked for signs and Greeks searched for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. The cross is foolishness to the world. But then Paul adds in the next verse, that's verse 24 of chapter 1 in 1 Corinthians, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. Christ is the power of God to you and I. Christ is the very essence of our spiritual existence. For over 1900 years then, the cross has been a stone of stumbling to some, but to others the rock of ages. It is the rock of ages to Christians who worship at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. There are those who have written, "There's no need for Jesus to die for me." I know of no one that would say such a thing, that would be so bold or daring. But I do know those who, by the manner of life they live, teach that without saying it with their lips. I want to suggest to you that there are at least three great blessings that are available through the blood of Jesus Christ. I also want to suggest to you that if you haven't received those blessings, you're wasting his time. You're wasting his blood. You're wasting his death. You're wasting his effort. The first great blessing is the remission of sins. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 28. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." In Acts 2 and verse 38, we read, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." My friend, without the blood of Jesus Christ, sins cannot be forgiven. Let's talk a little bit that are recorded in Acts, the 2nd chapter. If you'll remember, there was a great throng that had assembled there in Jerusalem for a Hebrew feast, and they were addressed by some men that had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And though those recipients of the message came from all over the world and spake so many different languages, they were addressed in their own language by those they knew to be unlearned or unschooled. And they listened to that message. And the message was, "You killed Jesus." And that message found its way to their heart. They were pricked in the heart. They were torn up emotionally by the belief that they had killed the very one that they said they were eagerly awaiting. And the result of that message was that they cried out to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" And that question was answered. And Peter answered that question in that passage that we read in Acts 2 and verse 38. "Indeed, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins." You know, the result of doing that is revealed in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and verse 47. The Lord added daily those that were being saved to his church. Have you been saved? Have you had your sins forgiven? Are you a Christian? By what standard do you determine your relationship with God? Is it a standard that has been developed by man? Is it a standard that has been developed by tradition? Or is it a standard that you can read about in the Word of God? When you go to the Word of God and you see clear passages such as that which was read in Acts 2 and verse 38 and in Matthew 26 and verse 28, how do you deal with that? Do you say, "Well, I know that's what it says, but," and then go on with some kind of a human idea or philosophy? Or do you accept what God says as being what God wants? And do you submit yourself in obedience to the commands of the Lord? That question will become more important to you as you grow older. It will be of great importance to you when you stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins cannot be forgiven. In Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Indeed, Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins by his blood." Those are not passages of Scripture that were invented by some church. Those are the passages of Scripture that you can find in the Bible. Pick up your Bible. Read it. Learn from it. Obey it. Use it as the very source of your life. When I think about being cleansed by the blood of Christ, I think about the value that is placed upon cleanliness by mankind from a physical standpoint. I would suggest to you that you have probably sometime in your life been too close to someone that was not clean. And it's an offensive thing. I remember now with a bit of humor a time when I was younger and my friends and I were going to go to Flagstaff, Arizona. We did that every summer in order to attend the All-Star, the high school All-Star basketball game, which was held on the campus of what was then Arizona State College, which is now Northern Arizona University. And we went up there, and this time we were going up, and a friend of one of the fellows who lived, or at least came to Phoenix once in a while, said, "Well, why don't you, when you go up there, stay at my place?" And we thought, "Boy, that's a good idea. We won't have to spend any of our money, and we can stay in that place." In some way, we come to conclude before we left Phoenix that this was a condominium, what we would call today a condo. Boy, we were excited, and when we got into Flagstaff, and we were looking for the address, we kept following the directions that we had, and we came to a part of the city that certainly didn't look like it had condominiums. In fact, it was a part of the city that looked like it was pretty unkept, and we finally found that address, and it was a sort of a cabin that was used by men that worked on the railroad, did construction work for the railroad. Well, we went there, and there were three of us. We went up in a Volkswagen Bug, and when we got to the door, my one friend and I sort of stayed back, and the other went in first. And boy, there was all of a sudden an odor that with which we were not familiar and didn't care to be. And my friend went over and he looked at the bed, and there were things crawling on that bed that were alive, and it was certainly not something that we wanted to be. So I went back out to the car and got in and locked the doors. I'd sleep in the car, and they could sleep in that bed. Well, what that shows to me is that there is a value to cleanliness. We understand that from the physical. We should be able to understand it from the spiritual. A person can be immaculate outside, but on the inside be unclean and defiled because the blood of Jesus Christ has not been availed to cleanse his inside. But Paul also says in Romans 5 and verse 9, "Being therefore justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." Justified is a word that means acquitted. It's a forensic term, a court term. It means a not guilty verdict. In practical terms, it means just like a one had never sinned. So, we've seen then in Matthew the 28th chapter and verse 28, and Ephesians 1 and verse 7, and Revelation 1 and verse 5, Romans 5 and verse 9, that the remission of sins has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ, that the forgiveness of sins is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I think that's not enough for some people. They want to know, well, why did Jesus have to die? The answer to that is somebody had to do for man what man couldn't do for himself. Recognize, if you would, that God is holy. The angels cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts," Isaiah 6 and verse 3. Also recognize, if you would, that God hates sin. In Hebrews, the first chapter and verse 9, "Thou hath loved righteousness and hated iniquity." 1 John 3 and verse 4 identifies iniquity as sin. So then, God being who he is, a lover of righteousness and a hater of sin, and sin being what it is, a transgression of law, and man being the sinner that he is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23, someone that was qualified had to fill in for man, had to be the substitute. We're not talking here about human attainment. We're talking about divine atonement. It's through that divine atonement that man is saved. Bootstrap religion will not work. God saw the potentiality of a problem even before creation. He made a plan that, according to Ephesians 3, verse 10 and 11, is eternal in purpose. I call your attention now to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, beginning again. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest to you in these last times. Did you notice from the reading of that the Lamb was perfect? Jesus lived a sinful life, Hebrews 4 and verse 15, 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. And that sinless life was vital to his saving death. Let me illustrate to you this way. In the days of corporal punishment, which was once common in our school systems, there was a day when going to the principal's office meant that the student, not the teacher, was in trouble. The teacher of this particular day had a class that was full of very unruly boys. That teacher made a rule. The rule was, there will be no stealing, or there will be a sound beating if you do. Well, the first person that was caught stealing was a weak and pale and sickly-looking fella. He looked as though he couldn't endure the punishment. But the teacher understood the nature of law. The teacher understood that price must be paid or dignity of law is destroyed. The teacher reluctantly made ready to administer the punishment of that law. And at that time, a tall and strong student came forward and said, "Teacher, he stole my lunch, but he's not able to take the beating, so I'll take it for him." That's what Jesus did for me. Jesus died for my sins. Hear the prophet Isaiah. It was 800 years before Christ's birth. Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, verse 4, beginning, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." My friend, if you've sinned and you haven't been forgiven, you're wasting the blood of Jesus Christ. The second blessing is reconciliation. Jesus shed his blood to reconcile us, Romans 5, verse 6 through 10. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 12 beginning and going through verse 17, we learn that not only did the cross reconcile man to Maker, but it reconciled man to man. My friend, if you're not reconciled to the Lord, you're wasting the blood of Jesus Christ. The third and the final blessing is redemption. Jesus died to redeem us, Ephesians 1, verse 7, 1 Peter 1, verse 18 through 20. In redemption, we're freed, we're emancipated, we're liberated. We know what those words mean from our own culture, don't we? You know what? If you're still in the slavery of sin, you're wasting the blood of Jesus Christ. So then we have that cross. How do we appropriate the blood of Christ, and what cleanses death? Listen to Romans, the sixth chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died in sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism into his death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. When does one die to sin? Paul says, when you're baptized. It takes obedience from the heart to benefit from the blood of Jesus, Romans 6 and verse 17. What is there then that can wash away sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Acts 22 and verse 16. Thank you for listening. I pray that your relationship with the Lord is one that will fare you well in judgment. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.